Hello, and welcome to Life Care Services Health Service Division podcast series. I'm Deb Goss, Director of Clinical Consulting, and today's topic revolves around discharge. A later podcast will highlight discharge planning. Let's start with the definition and move towards more specific information, such as the discharge notice. So, of course, the definition of discharge cannot be discussed without including the word transfer. Transfer and discharge is defined as the movement of a resident to a bed outside of the certified facility. And I'm going to use some CMS terminology for a minute and call our health centers a facility. Transfer and discharge does not refer to movement of a resident to a bed within the same certified facility. So remember, this is a Medicare requirement. So when I say certify, I'm referencing a Medicare certified bed. Some communities may not have all beds duly certified within the physical building. Gosh, I hope I'm not confusing you. Simply think of transfer and discharge as a different level of care. Was the resident moved to a lower level of care, or was the resident moved to a higher level of care? If the answer is yes, that constitutes a transfer and discharge. The health center has limited conditions for transfer and discharge of residents, and these are included in the admission policy. The six requirements for transfer and discharge are: 1, the transfer or discharge is necessary for the resident's welfare, and the resident's needs cannot be met in the health center. Think kind of like emergency care. 2, the transfer or discharge is appropriate because the resident's health has improved sufficiently, so the resident no longer needs the services provided by the health center. Think again about improvement to the point where residents may go home. 3, the safety of individuals in the health center is endangered due to the clinical or the behavioral status of the resident. 4, the health of individuals in the facility would be endangered because of a resident's clinical or behavioral status. 5, the resident has failed after a reasonable and appropriate notice to pay for a stay in the health center. And lastly, 6 is the health center ceases to operate. Regardless of the reason for discharge, appropriate information must be communicated to the receiving healthcare provider, and the medical record must contain documentation of the event. I'm going to start with the item to document. That includes the basis for the discharge, one of those six aforementioned items. Should the reason for transfer and discharge be that a specific resident's needs cannot be met, the documentation certainly would identify that specific need, what attempts were made to meet the resident's needs, and what services available at the receiving healthcare provider. This isn't new. It's nothing different. Really, these are key items to record in nursing documentation prior to a transfer or discharge. And I would encourage you all to look at some nurses' notes prior to transfer or discharge and ensure the documentation includes the resident's condition as well as the care and treatment provided. Note why the resident is leaving for the hospital. Is it a scan, for example? Medical record documentation also includes physician notification. When the resident's welfare or needs cannot be met, or when a resident's health has sufficiently improved, the physician must enter a note, and if not physically present, they are to be made aware and orders are to be received for discharge. Upon transfer or discharge, the receiving healthcare provider must be informed. They include the practitioner contact information, their name, their number, the resident representative information, again, contact information, name, number, advanced directives, present or absent, any special instructions or precautions for ongoing care, care plan goals, a discharge summary if applicable. The resident and resident's representative must be notified before a transfer or discharge, and do be sure to include the reasons for the move. The health center must also send a copy of the transfer and discharge notice to a representative of the state of the long-term care ombudsman. CMS clarified in the advanced interpretive guidelines, this copy of notice for transfer or discharge to the office of the state long-term care ombudsman. The clarification identified two categories of transfer and discharge, either facility initiated or resident initiated. So starting with facility initiated transfers and discharges, the three types with frequency of notice. One, when a resident is temporarily transferred, such as an emergency to a hospital setting, the notice of the transfer may be provided to the resident and resident's representative as soon as practicable. Copies of notices for emergency transfers must still be sent to the ombudsman, but they may be sent when practicable, such as in a list on a monthly basis. The other type, when a resident is discharged from the health center while still hospitalized, say the health center can no longer take the resident back. The health center must send a notice of discharge to the resident, resident's representative, with a copy to the office of the state long-term care ombudsman at the same time. For other types, the health center must provide notice of discharge to the resident, resident's representative, with a copy of the notice to the office of the state long-term care ombudsman at least 30 days prior to the discharge. Now, for resident-initiated transfers and discharges, and by resident-initiated, I'm referring to a resident or the resident's representative, if appropriate, the resident's verbal or a written notice of intent to leave is clearly provided. The medical record must contain documentation or evidence of the verbal or written notice of intent to leave. A general desire or a goal to return home by a resident, or even an elopement by a resident who is slightly cognitively impaired, cannot be taken as notice of intent to leave. And by say cannot, shouldn't be taken as notice of intent to leave. Nonetheless, for these residents who initiate transfer discharge, a notice to the ombudsman is not required. So be sure an individual has been assigned the responsibility to not only complete a monthly list of transfers and discharges, but contacted the representative of the Office of the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman regarding this frequency of notice and the type of notice before November of 2017. The discharge notice must contain specific information, the reason for the transfer or discharge, as well as the date and the location to which the resident is transferred or discharged. An explanation of the right to appeal must also be included, as well as identification of the state entity who receives the appeal requests, with information on how to request an appeal hearing and how to obtain assistance for completing the appeal request. And then, of course, the name, address, and phone number of the representative of the Office of the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Lastly, prior to transfer or discharge, the health center must provide, and of course document, preparation and orientation of the resident for a safe and orderly transfer or discharge. Specifically, the immediate orientation and preparation for a transfer. So take the example of an emergency transfer where a complete discharge planning process isn't feasible. And again, I'm going to cover discharge planning in our next podcast. But an example of preparation and orientation can simply be explaining to the resident why they are going to the emergency room, or working with the resident's representative to secure the resident's possessions. So if possessions are left behind, they won't get lost, kind of to ease their mind. Another example is offering a calm demeanor in the midst of anxiety, should the resident exhibit some anxiety, an appropriate response is provided. Be sure to document. Be sure to capture the resident's understanding of the transfer or discharge in their medical record as well. So I thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to joining you on the next podcast, Discharge Planning.
Legal disclaimer. Life Care Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.